All right, let's get started. It's an exciting week here for SB Nation Houston and all Houston fans. The football season has started. Are you excited?
Yeah!
A Redskins fan. Okay, all right.
Yeah, big news of the week. Grossman beat out Beck for the starting quarterback. I know that this whole thing about Manning is really just going to take a back.
Yeah, we're completely
North Texans. That's a backseat to that. You know, Grossman beats out Beck for the starting job. That's the headliner.
If I had a cricket sound effect, I would definitely be playing it right now. But let's get right into it. Football is the big topic this week, next week, and, you know, until February. But let's, you know, Texans, and let's see what you think. Let's go game by game. Let's not waste time. Indianapolis, you mentioned Peyton Manning's out. Week one.
Peyton Manning is out. Kerry Collins is in. I think that equals victory for the Texans. Even if Arian Foster doesn't play, I think the Texans have way too much talent on the field. And the Colts are a team that's obviously built 100% around Peyton Manning.
Now, you didn't mention, and I do agree, Kerry Collins has beaten this team before. He's not a nobody, but we still like them to win this game.
I don't think the Texans are going to win it going away, necessarily. I just think that Kerry Collins was a good fit in the game management system he had with Tennessee, and he had a lot of success, you know, with this team over there. But the Colts are not a game manager type team. They rely on their quarterback to do
much
almost
more complicated
everything.
Offense.
Exactly. They rely on their quarterback to do everything.
I don't see him doing the checks at the offensive line like Peyton Manning does.
I don't think he's going to have him at the line, you know, 20 seconds before the play is called, reading defenses and shouting. And so I would be very surprised about that. They're going to try to become a running team in week one against the Texans for two reasons. First, it's what they can do. Secondly, to keep the Texans' offense off the field. And it's not going to work. The Texans will win the game.
All right, so week two, that's the Texans 1-0 at Miami. Heaney experience.
The Texans are undefeated lifetime against the Dolphins, and they've beaten better Dolphin teams than this before.
True.
I'm not necessarily expecting them to have a ton of trouble down there, unless they have a letdown off the high of week one, winning at Reliance Stadium on 9/11.
Maybe it won't be as much of a high without Peyton Manning.
Yeah, there really shouldn't be. I mean, you know, you shouldn't be thumping your chest too hard.
I mean, we've talked about before, but the Colts are probably a 5-11, 4-12 type team without Peyton Manning.
Exactly. So, I mean, the idea that the Texans should be riding too high after that is ridiculous, but there is always that danger. I don't expect it to materialize, though. I think they win week two.
All right, now, 2-0, first big test. At New Orleans.
I think New Orleans is going to win that game. I think they were sandbagging when they were here during the preseason in week two. I think they're angry about that a little bit as well. The fact they did not blitz the Texans at all the way they did against the 49ers. They offered nothing in terms of aggressive offense or defense, and I think that they're going to remember, they're going to have that bad taste in their mouth from week two of the preseason. They're going to want to remind the Texans that they were sandbagging and come out
They've
there.
They've got something to prove.
And honestly, if there's a sleeper Super Bowl team out there, if that's possible, I think it's the Saints. I think they have so much on that team.
Chip on the shoulder after that humiliating Seattle loss.
Exactly. And the Saints can beat you with a running game. They would prefer to pass it, but the Saints can beat you with a running game the way they have it set up there with Sproles and
Ingram. I think that's part of why they can beat you with the running game, because you have to load up for the pass.
Right.
You can't put eight guys in the box, and a guy like Pierre Thomas or even now Mark Ingram can beat you.
I would expect the Texans to suffer their first loss at New Orleans.
2-1. Then October 2nd, home for Pittsburgh.
Loss.
Yeah, I mean, does it really need an explanation for that?
No, but I don't expect the Steelers to blow the Texans out. I don't think the Steelers are.
I think they're just the perfect mismatch for the Texans. They're just more physical. They're faster, especially with their defense versus the Texans' offensive line.
Sure.
But
the defense is old, too.
Yeah.
I mean, let's also remember this. That's the oldest defense in the NFL right now, and by far.
Probably still the best, though.
Well, I mean, it may be, but at the same time, the Texans have a lot of young horses in that backfield. By that point, you would expect Arian Foster to be 100%.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
And then hopefully Pittsburgh doesn't take him out of 100%.
I don't know that the Steelers have anybody who can cover Andre Johnson. And if they roll Matt Schaub out, get him away from the pressure and have him, you know, move his launch points, move his passing points, you know, to different spots over the field to combat the pass rush, I expect them to have some
success. So you're saying there's a chance?
Of course there's a chance. Look, I mean, this team almost beat the Ravens last year. I mean, aren't the Steelers and the Ravens are
comparable.
Incredibly similar teams. I mean, the Steelers are better, But I expect the Steelers to win, but I don't expect a blowout. I think it'll be a competitive game.
All right, so 2-2. Then we got October 9th, home for Oakland.
Oh, absolute win.
Okay, 3-2 at Baltimore.
I think that's a win.
I mean, just off of the way they were able to pass all over last year.
Yeah,
I mean, their secondary is depleted in Baltimore.
The secondary is depleted. The Redskins stole Josh Wilson away from them, and they've had other, you know, the McGahee departure, Todd Heap, other people like that. I'm just saying, I don't see Baltimore as anything
super
great.
Team, yeah. No, they're not the 12-14.
I don't see them as anything great this year. There's a chance. I think they're going to have a hell of a time with Cleveland. I think Cleveland is on the rise in that division. I see that as a win for the Texans.
All right, so that makes them 4-2 headed to Tennessee.
That absolutely should be a win. And I'm not one of these people, one of these Houston people who's just automatically picking the Titans to be awful. I think they upgraded the quarterback position with Matt Hasselbeck.
7-9 team probably.
7-9, 8-8. Yeah. They upgraded the quarterback position. They're going to have Chris Johnson. Mike
Kenny
Munchak,
Britt, if he doesn't get arrested.
Kenny Britt has more arrests than touchdowns, and that's kind of an issue. But moving beyond that, you look at the head coaching change. I mean, Mike Munchak has spent his entire career in that organization, so it's not like he's a first-time head coach of a team that he has no familiarity with. I mean, this is a team he's spent his whole career with as a player and as a coach. I see them as being competitive, but there's no reason why the Texans should not win that game.
All right, so that has them at 5-2, headed back home for Jacksonville.
Absolute win, especially, you know, yesterday the news coming out, David Garrard.
Yeah, what is up with that? Can you make any sense of that?
I think it's a cost-cutting move.
If you're going to do that, why would you wait until the last week? Why wouldn't you want to get a Luke McCown more reps in the preseason?
No, I told you.
Every rep that David Garrard had in the preseason was a complete waste of time.
The timing is awful. I mean, and Luke McCown was working out with a third team.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the timing is awful.
You're going to start him. You got to get him in.
Exactly right. No, I think it should have happened a while ago, but I think it's a cost-cutting move, and David Garrard was overpaid from the beginning. He was never an elite NFL quarterback. Nice guy, but not an elite quarterback. It absolutely should be a win for the Texans.
All right, then they got a second game at home, back-to-back. Cleveland comes to town.
That spells trouble for me. I think Cleveland...
You think that's a look-ahead game?
Yeah, I think maybe the Texans are riding a little high by that point in the season. And
good defense.
They're feeling good about themselves.
Cole McCoy coming home.
And then all of a sudden, you know, this very tough, growing defense comes in here. And Cole McCoy, who is, I mean, he may be the most improved quarterback in the league.
Yeah,
from
one
last
of them.
Year to this year, by the end of the year, we may be having that discussion. So I think the Texans lose that game, actually.
All right, that has them at 6-3, headed to Tampa.
Win,
so all
I think
right.
Tampa's taking a step back this year. I mean, look,
yeah, they had an easy schedule last year.
They're a good team, but they had a cupcake of a schedule.
They
last
had
what
gets lost. I mean, Josh Freeman obviously is the thing that's most talked about. LeGarrette Blount a little bit, but their run defense was just awful. I believe they were 31st or 32nd.
Right, and you can't have an. Awful...
And they didn't really, to my knowledge, they didn't add a whole lot of players to solve that problem.
No, well, I mean, the Adrian Claiborne guy.
Yeah, I mean, but
he's
a rookie.
Pass rusher.
He's
really.
A pass
I mean,
rusher.
He's not
yeah.
really a run stuffer, so. No, I would totally agree, and I think that's going to be – you can't have a bad run defense against the Texans. They can burn you. So, I mean, I think the Texans rebound and go on the road and get a win against Tampa.
All right, that has them 7-3 at the bye. Out of the bye, November 27th, they take to the road again at Jacksonville.
But there's no excuse for them not sweeping every team in this division this year.
Especially Jacksonville.
Especially Tennessee, I guess.
I personally believe we talked about Luke McCown starting. I think by this point, Luke McCown will not be starting. I mean, ultimately, you're probably right. Garrard was made for a cost-cutting move. But this will probably be Blaine Gabbert's team by mid-season.
Yes.
So I think you'll have a rookie quarterback in that game.
And probably by that point this season, one of the better pass rushes in the NFL. Too.
Hopefully. Yeah, hopefully.
So, I mean, I think it works out for the Texans. They win that.
All right. Now, that has the Texans 8-3 with a huge home game, Atlanta.
Atlanta. I'm taking Atlanta.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people taking Atlanta for the Super Bowl. I'm not. I think it'll be Atlanta and Green Bay coming down to it for the NFC Championship game, but I think Green Bay still wins that. But Atlanta is super good. And let's not forget, I mean, look, the Texans have one legit NFL corner.
Yeah,
Jonathan Joseph.
And now the Falcons
he can
have
cover
two very
Roddy
good
White,
ones. Right.
But who the hell is going to cover Julio Jones?
Kareem Jackson? Yeah. Oh, God.
It's going to be...
Jason Allen? I don't know.
And then you got the Tony Gonzalez issue, and then the running game with Michael Turner. I mean, it's too much.
They're a loaded offensive team.
Yeah, Atlanta wins that game.
All right, that has them 8-4. Now they head to Cincinnati.
I'll win.
Andy Dalton.
I love Andy Dalton. I think he's.
He's looked pretty bad.
But the Texans have had a great record against Cincinnati, and that was with better teams than what they have this year. So I mean, I'm expecting them to win that game.
All right, 9-4 back home for Carolina.
Should I even?
Oh God, is this an Auburn thing?
Yeah.
What are you doing here?
Never underestimate the heart of a champion.
Oh God. Now you know that is copyrighted. You're gonna owe royalties to Rudy T.
No, as much as it will hurt my feelings, my favorite college football player ever, Cam Newton. Well, second most favorite.
Okay.
Will lose here. Is it here?
Is here.
Okay. Yeah, they'll definitely lose.
All right,
Carolina.
That's 10-4 headed to Indianapolis. Could Peyton be back?
He could be back, but I don't think he'll be 100%.
Even by week, is that 16?
Yeah, I mean,
you got him at 10-4. I mean, you got to figure they're going to lose. I mean, we talked about the Cleveland game, but they're going to lose the game that you expect them to win.
Yeah. Okay. I'll go ahead and give the Colts that.
All right.
At Indianapolis.
I can't believe
Peyton
I just did that, but
Peyton Manning probably 100% by that point and wanting to show up and show out.
Extract the measure of revenge.
And honestly, it might be better for the Texans to lose that game because as we were talking about earlier, you don't want the Colts ending up with a top 10 draft pick.
Suck for luck.
Exactly. Yeah. You don't want them getting their hands on either Andrew Luck or Landry Jones or Matt Barkley or any of those guys. So maybe it'd be better if they actually lose that game.
Well, I just posted this on my blog. I almost see it, we're going to sidetrack a little bit here, but it almost reminds you of the San Antonio Spurs in the mid-90s.
Right.
I believe it was the 96 season. David Robinson only plays 6 games. They get Tim Duncan, and the rest is history.
The rest is history.
4 titles in 10 years. So you almost have to hope that Peyton Manning misses 5 games, maybe, just enough to get the Texans in the playoffs, but have him back in time to win 7, maybe 8 games. So just like you said, they don't get one of those better quarterbacks.
Exactly.
All right, so they are at this point 10-5 and back home for Tennessee to finish off the year.
Win.
So 11-5.
11-5.
This is a big step, Mighty Gwen.
With the way this division is shaping up this year, I don't think there's an excuse. I really don't.
I know
they've got to show up and show.
I mean,
out.
With the other quarterbacks in the division, it's almost a joke.
Well, Matt Schaub's
Collins just switches teams, but
Matt Schaub's the only quarterback in the division that actually has tenure with his team.
Yeah,
nobody else in the division does.
That is true.
So,
well, I think Luke McCown's been there for a couple of years, but
as a starter,
the point remains. All right, let's move bigger picture. Let's go division by division. I'll give you my picks here. Each division, tell me what you think. Starting off with the AFC North, I'm picking the Steelers.
I concur.
Okay, we just talked about the Ravens taking a step back.
Yeah, Cleveland's taking a step up, but they're not there yet.
South, I think we just covered the Texans would win the South. East, I've got the Patriots. I know you have a little bit of love for the Jets. I mean, what are you thinking here? Do you think
I think the Patriots are a better team. And think about it. When the Jets beat the Patriots in the playoffs last year, it was largely due to Sean Ellis.
True.
Who blew up Brady for two sacks, you know, towards the end of that game. And now the Patriots have Sean Ellis.
Yeah.
You know, they also now have Ocho Cinco. So I think the defense has been improved. I think their pass protection is being improved with Nate Solder. And Brady has more receiving options. I think I think the Patriots are a better team.
All right, I agree. Going west, the Chargers, I think the Chiefs, not that they're going to fall back to 5-11, 6-10, but I think it was a bit of a fluke. Matt Castle, I'm not a huge believer in. And the Chargers with everyone healthy again. Phillip Rivers, how do you stop him?
I think this is the biggest lock. If you're a betting man, the Chargers to win the AFC West is probably the biggest lock.
I agree.
In the NFL right now.
You talked about in your show last week how the Texans would need to carry Gary. I think the Chargers will have to carry Norv.
Oh,
but
yeah.
At least to a division title, I see them in the playoffs. All right, wild cards. I have the Jets and Ravens. Jets was a no-brainer. Ravens, like we talked about before, I struggle with a little bit, but I don't see the Chiefs doing it. We just talked about that. I mean, and unless someone in the South comes up, which we're not expecting,
no.
There's really nothing else.
No, I would agree totally. Jets and Ravens are going to be the wild card for the AFC. They're definitely not coming out of the AFC South.
Right, and they're probably not coming out of the West unless the Chiefs surprise us. So, yeah, the Ravens were really the only team left. Moving over to the NFC, in the North, I've got the Packers.
Absolutely agree. I think the Packers had the best offseason of any team without doing anything. All they did was get six starters back off of IR.
Yeah.
You know, and
I think the Bears take a step back.
Another good Ted Thompson draft, and I agree with you about the Bears. I don't see them being that competitive again.
All right, headed south. You mentioned this as one of your sleepers, the Saints. The Super Bowl sleeper, that is.
Yeah.
I got the Saints winning that division from the Falcons.
I think they are a better, more complete team than the Falcons. The Falcons are sexy because they got the quarterback, they got the wide receivers, stuff like that.
I didn't know you're into birds.
I'm still not buying the defense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think the Saints are a much more well-rounded team than the Falcons are. I think they win that division.
All right. Headed east. I'm picking the dream team, the Eagles.
I know you're
a bit of a seller. Do you think they could still,
I'm a
despite
seller.
Their Super Bowl chances, do you think they still win the division?
I think they can win the division. I'm a seller on them and in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But I am not a seller on them in the division. I think the Redskins will be much more improved than people think. But
Homer.
They're not there yet.
Homer.
The Giants are a mash unit.
Yeah.
They're not gonna win. I mean, in Dallas, although I think better, their secondary worries me. We have to see what their offensive line does. I think Dallas will be competitive, you know, in the 8-8, 9-7 area.
Yeah.
But I don't see Dallas as threatening for the division.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the Giants. This was July. If it was July right now, I would have picked the Giants to make the playoffs. But they've lost, their top three corners? Eli Manning's still interception machine. Yeah, I think the Giants take a step back.
And now just yesterday they lost a starting linebacker,
True.
Jonathan Goff.
That's right, yeah.
So, yeah.
Long year for the Giants fans. West, I think this is another one-team division unless Kevin Cobb surprises us. And I'll go with the Rams.
I'm gonna go different on you there.
Okay.
I think the Cardinals.
You think Kevin Cobb does surprise us?
Oh, I think Kevin Cobb and Larry Fitzgerald is going to be.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not huge into fantasy football. If I was though,
okay.
Larry Fitzgerald
would be on your team.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Would you call him the Mighty Man?
Yeah, something like that. Well, I mean, look, if this guy can get 1,100 yards with a who's who of who cares at quarterback, like John Skelton, Max Hall,
and
whoever else, you know, if he can do that with those guys, then getting. You know, getting at least, I think, 1,500 yards with Kevin.
Well, hell, I think he had 1,100 with that crew last year.
Right.
So, yeah, he definitely could get those
now,
numbers.
They have had some injuries in their defense.
True.
There's no doubt.
They didn't
about
have much
it.
Defense to start with.
Right. But there's not a lot of offense.
And they lost Rodgers
Cromartie. Right. They lost Rodgers Cromartie and Greg Toler. But I think.
Because of the division, 8-8 could win it.
Yeah.
Hell, 7-9 won it last year.
I think the Cardinals have a legit shot at winning that.
Okay.
Division.
All right. I'll go Rams there, but I agree the Cardinals definitely are a team to watch. Wild cards. Obviously if I had the Saints win the division, the Falcons were a no-brainer. And I think you might disagree with me on this, but I did this because I just don't see the other two contenders for that final wild card, spot as all that great. I'm taking the Cowboys for the final wild card spot. I think the Bucs take a step back.
Yeah.
And I just went, you know, I looked at each of their schedules, went win, loss. And I think the Bears.
Falcons?
Yeah. I'm taking the Falcons as one of my wild card teams. And the final wild card spot, to me at least, came down to the Cowboys, Bucs, or Bears. And I think the Bears, the Bucs take a step back. I don't think the Cowboys will be world beaters by any means. And they're definitely not a Super Bowl contender. But with Romo back healthy, Dez Bryant in the second year, I think they got enough to get
in
the
wild card. I can go there with you. Also, you got a factor with the Bears is that the Lions are going to be really good
True.
This year.
Yeah.
And that might actually be another wild card you might have to throw in there.
Yeah, I just –
if Matt Stafford stays healthy.
That's the big if. He hasn't stayed healthy. If I could rely on Matt Stafford's health shoulder not to pop out of place every third game, then I might pick him. But, yeah, I'm not all that confident there.
I'll go Lions.
You'll go Lions?
Wild card,
okay.
You know, but – I do see where you're coming from.
Okay.
With the Cowboys, though.
All right, now let's move on to a playoff picture. AFC title game, I've got the Patriots over the Steelers. NFC title, I have the Packers over the Saints. In my Super Bowl pick, I've got the Packers repeating over the Patriots. Your thoughts?
I have the exact same Super Bowl prediction.
Had a pre-show meeting.
I promise we did not meet up beforehand.
Okay.
Look, they're the best teams.
Yeah.
I think they're the best
teams.
That's
why they're picked, yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to try to get creative. I'm not going to try to sit here and talk about the Chargers. I mean, I don't think they can overcome Norv Turner.
I think their talent
to winning a division. I mean, to winning a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think their talent is Super Bowl caliber, but their coach is
Their coach is not.
Lottery.
And think about what do you need in the playoffs? You need elite coaching because you can get by with talent during the regular regular season when you're playing six games against the Chiefs, the Broncos, and the Raiders.
Right.
But when you're in a playoff scenario and you've got the Steelers, the Pats, the Jets, all these different teams, and yeah, you may
the
be
Texans.
You may be you may be marginally more talented than those other teams, but you're not head and shoulders above those teams.
Yeah.
You can't win it on talent alone. And you need coaching. You need good situational coaching. And Norv Turner, total seller on him as far as that goes. Total seller.
All right. So we both have Packers over Patriots then. All right. We'll see how that goes. All right. Now let's move from pro football to college football. Opening weekend obviously was last week with, college. Texas, I mean, I'd like to give you a full scouting report, but because of the Longhorn Network.
Did you hear that pass?
Yeah, exactly. Because, what's the largest, the largest city in the state, and you can't even see the game?
Yeah, that's pretty much what it was. They did not do their fans a solid on that one.
No.
In fact, I heard when the Longhorn Network was announced at the game, it was booed.
Really?
Yeah, that the fans actually booed the mention of the Longhorn Network at the stadium.
I did not hear that.
Yeah, so it's not exactly being well-received.
Well, hell, I mean, there was a provider in Austin, but most likely, unless you were at the game in Austin, you probably weren't seeing it either.
No. So, I mean, it's one of those things we're just going to have to sweat through. I'm kind of hoping that it's dropped the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, that probably won't happen. Yeah. I just hope they'll have everything resolved by the Kansas game, because they did add that to the Longhorn Network schedule, which I believe is mid-October.
Okay.
I think the week after Oklahoma, I want to say. But anyway, so they stay at home. They play BYU this week. BYU obviously had the big comeback win over Ole Miss. Texas, I believe, won by 25 over Rice.
Yeah, 34-9.
Struggled early. Garrett Gilbert, from all reports, looked like last year's Garrett Gilbert. Some of the freshmen played well. I mean, what do you think? They beat BYU?
Well, I mean, I think it's going to be a very tough test for them. And BYU showed a lot of heart down
there.
Yeah,
I mean, they were down 14-0 late.
Exactly, and it wasn't like they did it with finesse either. I mean, they came back and played a physical game and beat Ole Miss.
Yeah, they controlled the clock, even when they were losing.
I will tentatively, because it's at home, I'll tentatively go with Texas just because, you know, BYU is now doing back-to-back road trips.
Right.
And I think that takes a toll on you, and I think it'll benefit Texas, but it's very tentative. I mean, I could easily see BYU going into Austin and winning this game.
All right. Now, staying with teams here in Texas, Houston facing a team Texas will face the week after. UCLA gave up a lot of offense.
Yeah.
But created enough turnovers, got in the end zone enough, and held on for a 38-34 win over UCLA. That was probably the toughest game of the schedule. Now, they do have other games that are worrisome. SMU, Tulsa, Southern Miss. What do you think? I mean, are we talking about what is the chance of a undefeated conference season?
Good. I mean, I think it's good. I mean, you know, I'm a little concerned about U of H's history as far as getting up for the big game, the nationally televised game, and then the next week, you know, kind of not showing up like they did.
Yeah.
Again, Texas Tech 2 years ago, they beat them on national television and everybody's going crazy. And then next week they gave up 58 points to UTEP. You know,
yeah.
which to me should not happen. So I'm looking very closely at what they do against North Texas this weekend. But you look at it on paper, there's absolutely no reason why this team should not be 13-0 every single in this conference. I mean, Tulsa, I would worry a little bit about Tulsa.
Yeah.
But 12-1, 13-0, totally.
It's a real possibility. I mean, we talked about this off before we started recording, but you don't even really have to get a good performance out of their defense to win games. I mean, if they could just hold teams under 30,
yeah, if you hold them under 30. Now, East Carolina did give South Carolina a hell of a game, at least in the early going there. So you can't write everybody off. But, I mean, honestly, I think this team is so talented on the offensive side of the ball. And like you said, all the defense has to do is keep it to 30.
They can even be below average.
Right.
As long as they're not horrible.
Keep it to 30 or under.
Yeah.
Then you really, if you're U of H, you still have a chance to win that game.
All right. Across the state to the Aggies, they had a game with SMU. SMU stayed with them early. I think the SMU, if not for couple terrible interceptions and then probably the worst onside kick I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Probably are in that game late, but the Aggies turned those interceptions into touchdowns, and then obviously they used that terrible onside kick to
that
get some momentum
atrocious.
Back. And they end up rolling.
Garrel, your premium called and said that was a horrible kick.
I mean, after seeing that, you still feel the Aggies second best in the conference?
I think
how do you feel?
I'm actually picking them to win the conference.
You're changing.
I am. They passed the eyeball test. When I look at the Aggies, to me, they passed the eyeball test. They're clicking on all cylinders right now. Just like we were talking about with that horrible imbalance with U of H, the great offense and the far substandard defense. A&M has balance. When you
their pass defense isn't that great.
Well, it's not U of H either. I mean, I'm just saying there isn't that massive drop off.
Right. Not like U of H. Yeah.
Yeah. When A&M's offense leaves the field, it's not like you're like, oh God, what's going to happen now? You know what I mean? You got guys like, you know, Tony Gerard Eddy, who I think is a very good defensive lineman, and Terrence Frederick, who is, you know, pretty much their all everything player. I totally buy them, and I wouldn't be surprised at all if they knock off OU. Now that game is in Norman this year.
Right.
You know, so it's a little bit
more
challenging.
OU does have a pretty impressive conference winning streak.
Yeah, exactly. So
in Norman.
It's tough, but I like the Aggies. I really like
the
Aggies.
Yeah, at least on offense, I mean, pass defense we'll see, but with you know, Cyrus Gray and I forget the bigger back's name right now.
Christian Michael,
right, and of course Tannehill. And Jeff Fuller, I mean, they've got
Ryan Swope had over 100 yards.
Yeah, I mean, they've got a very, very, very balanced offense, so they could be trouble for OU. All right, moving out of Texas, a couple big time games happened. LSU Oregon, LSU dominated the lines on both sides. Oregon's running game couldn't get started at all. They ended up winning that game, going away, and are now ranked number 2 in the country. Do you think they should have been ranked number 1
absolutely.
After crushing Oregon?
Absolutely. I don't know how anybody can put OU ahead of LSU.
I think
LSU
it was OU
right
voters
now.
Just defending their vote.
Maybe. I guess. Maybe a bunch of people who just felt bad about changing it after 1 week. But, I mean, how can anybody watch what LSU did to Oregon with a backup quarterback and on a semi-neutral field? I mean, yeah, it was mostly LSU fans, but, I mean, it wasn't at LSU.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, I don't know how anybody can watch that and not call LSU the best team in the country.
Yeah, I agree. I think this speaks to a bigger problem with the voting system in college football. The fact that they even take a poll before October is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, you need to see, and LSU played the team early on that could test them, but you need to see these teams against someone better than, you know, an SMU or Rice before you start voting about how
exactly
good they are.
Right. I mean, listen,
especially since that plays into the BCS formula.
Well, right. And I think the final score is 40-27, but
it didn't
even seem that close. I mean, LSU was very much in control of that game. And Oregon's a really good team, and they manhandled them. And I think it's LSU, Alabama, and everybody else.
You talking about in the conference?
In the country. I don't. I think LSU. And
even
Alabama,
with Alabama's, I mean, their two quarterbacks played awful, and they're playing Kent State.
Yeah, I know.
What, five picks between the two of them?
Five picks between the two of them, but I mean, they can make up for a lot of mistakes over there with their running game.
They've got talent elsewhere.
With their incredible defense, you know, they can make up for some mistakes. I would still put Alabama as my number 2.
Okay. Well, I don't completely agree with that, but let's talk about, at least in my opinion, I know I might get a different opinion from you, but let's talk about another really good team, Boise State.
Yeah.
You talk about LSU manhandling Oregon.
They're terrible.
Oh, come on. Yeah. Boise State manhandled Georgia.
They're a good team.
Georgia has the biggest line in the conference, and Boise State's defensive line dominated.
Boise is a good team. I don't think Georgia's any great shakes.
No.
I mean, they're you know, 19th.
But they're
team
a ranked the SEC team.
They're a ranked SEC team. Okay. Now go play 5 ranked SEC teams like LSU has to do for the rest of the season. LSU has to go at West Virginia.
Unfortunately, they can't do anything about that right now.
No, they can't. I'm not blaming them for that. But all I'm saying is this, though. I think their road to the national championship needs to be a little bit harder than everybody else's because they only have to get up for one other game the rest of the year. Think about it. Their only other ranked opponent right now
is TCU,
who, as we saw on Friday night,
does not
have the vaunted defense that they've had in past years, and Andy Dalton's not there anymore. So, you know, that's not all that scary of a game. Meanwhile, LSU has 5 more ranked opponents the rest of the season, including a trip to West Virginia.
To West Virginia.
That they have to go play. And meanwhile, look at some of their unranked. I mean, Auburn. Auburn's a scrappy team. I mean, that's not, I mean, they were only unranked after this week. I mean, it's, all I'm saying is this, LSU has a far more difficult road.
Well, no one's going to argue that, but let me talk about it this way. What scenario do you see having to play out to where Boise could play for a national title?
Super conferences and a playoff.
That's the only way?
It's not the only way. I mean,
if every major conference,
I would take a one loss, and I would certainly take a one loss SEC over them.
All right, well, let's say all of the major conference winners have one loss.
Okay.
So Boise's the only undefeated team. Do they play the best one loss team, or you have 2 1 loss teams facing each other? If LSU, Oregon, Oklahoma all have one loss, Wisconsin has one loss.
To me, the only way that Boise gets in is if there's a 2-loss.
There has to be multiple 2-loss conference teams.
I would still take a 1-loss OU over Boise.
Well, I disagree with you for a couple reasons.
Okay, well, fine. I'm just saying that I think that
mostly because I hate OU, but.
But I think OU has a tougher road to hoe than Boise State does, and I'm going to take that.
Well, when we talk about roads to hoe, OU definitely comes to mind. Anyway, let's wrap it up on that note.
Nice. I didn't think we were getting any hoe references into this one, but it's only 1:30 in the afternoon, and it's a little early for hoe references, but okay.
All right, well, it'll be a good and exciting open weekend of football for the NFL and another great weekend for college football. Dylan, thanks for joining me.
Anytime.